Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
It's Wednesday, July the 25th. Welcome to Africa Link, live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And my name is Abubakar Jalo. Thank you for joining us on air and on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Coming up, former Vice President of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Jean-Pierre Bemba, joins the political race to replace President Joseph Kabila.
Jean-Pierre Bemba, in his press conference and even in the interview with the Deutsche Welle, said that he would be the best candidate for the opposition. He thinks that the opposition has to be unified, united, and that they should go with one and only candidate. And he thinks he's the best one for this.
Dirk Kopp is the head of DW's French service.
And the summit of the BRICS nation, that is Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa, gets underway in South Africa amid heightened global trade wars with the United States.
You know, Africa, I think, is interested in BRICS because it opens up a kind of alternative for African development. It's a very interesting and very ambitious initiative. I think it has the potential to help a lot in different parts of the world.
And voters in Pakistan cast their ballots in an election marred by bomb blasts.
These stories plus your responses to our Facebook and WhatsApp post shortly after we hear what's been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. In Wednesday's parliamentary elections in Pakistan, initial results indicate a tight race between former cricket star Imran Khan's Right of Center party and the party of disgraced Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, who is serving 10 years in jail on corruption charges. The day was marred by a deadly suicide blast near a polling station in the west of the country. The blast, claimed by so-called Islamic State militants, killed at least 31 people, including 5 police officers, and wounded at least 35 others. Final election results are expected early on Thursday. In Zimbabwe, opposition leader Nelson Chamisa has warned of electoral fraud ahead of next Monday's presidential election, in which his MDC party is hoping to defeat President Emmerson Mnangagwa's ruling ZANU-PF party. Chamisa accused Zimbabwe's electoral commission, the ZEC, of supporting Mnangagwa.
We had raised a number of fundamental issues to do with violence and intimidation and the politicization of food. It's clear that we have a ZEC that is biased. We have a ZEC that has lost the confidence and trust of the people of Zimbabwe.
It will be the country's first election since longtime leader Robert Mugabe was ousted in November. Chinese President Xi Jinping resolutely rejected a global trade war at the opening of the BRICS Summit of Emerging Economies in Johannesburg, South Africa. In a statement read by China's foreign ministry spokesman, Geng Shuang, Xi rejected President Trump's so-called trade war.
They agreed to enhance high-level exchanges, deepen political mutual trust, strengthen people-to-people and cultural exchanges, and reinforce multilateral coordination. The two leaders also agreed to jointly safeguard multilateralism and oppose protectionism.
This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Rescue crews near the Greek city of Athens extended their search for survivors on Wednesday after raging wildfires forced thousands to flee and killed at least 79 people. Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras has declared 3 days of national mourning and has called for international aid and cooperation to help deal with the aftermath. It is one of the deadliest wildfire disasters in the country's history. The Spanish Maritime Safety Agency said on Wednesday that it had saved nearly 500 migrants in the Mediterranean Sea in a single day. Writing on Twitter, the group said it used 30 makeshift vessels to save the mostly sub-Saharan African migrants from drowning in the Strait of Gibraltar. According to the International Organization for Migration, around 18,000 migrants have reached Spanish shores so far this year, while nearly 300 have died. And this just in, South Sudan's government has signed a peace deal with its main opposition group in a bid to end years of conflict. And finally, a team of international astronomers say they have discovered a massive underground lake on the planet Mars. In a report published in the journal Science, the researchers said the discovery could mean that life exists on the red planet. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
If you are just joining us, this is DW's Africa Link, and my name is Abubakar Jalo.
With me, Zipora Nyambura, and of course, a warm welcome to you listening to us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Mark Eden Wagang saying hello, Nasir Muhammad, and Ebru Hedinch listening to us from Istanbul. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. We start off with a breaking news. South Sudan's government and the main rebel group have signed a peace deal in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. They said that Riek Machar, a former vice president who will be reinstated into his old post under the deal, was in the room when the agreement was signed. Now to our main story of the day in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where candidates have begun to submit their names to vie for the presidency. One of those candidates is former Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba.
Bemba had been in detention at the International Criminal Court, ICC, in The Hague since 2008 for war crimes committed in the Central African Republic. Bemba is popular known in Western Congo. In the 2006 election, he finished runner-up to President Joseph Kabila, who is barred by term limits from running but has refused to commit publicly to not standing.
But what are Bemba's chances of uniting, or his intentions of uniting, this country? This is what he said in a press conference earlier today.
If you want a new regime in this country, we need to have unity and support one single opposition candidate. I will campaign for the opposition candidate, and if it won't be me, I will support the candidate that will be chosen by the opposition. That is clear.
But since Bemba has been away for 10 years, will he be remembered by his supporters? Head of DW's French service, Dirke Kopp, joins me to answer that question.
I think his supporters remember him quite well, and I think he has still got some chances, maybe not of winning the elections, but of being a candidate who will be chosen by many voters. When he came out of the prison, when he was acquitted by the ICC, people were welcoming that. This is what surprised quite a lot us here in Deutsche Welle, because he had been judged for war crimes before and then now acquitted by the ICC. But I think his supporters still remember him, and I think the media still remember him, because on Tuesday he gave a press conference and they were all there. All the media, all the international media were there to interview Jean-Pierre Bemba. And even his supporters from his party have waited for him and now created a Twitter account, a Facebook account for him. They had a new page for the MLC, for his party. Yeah, I think they still remember him.
The opposition is in complete disarray. Up till now, they haven't been able to form a united front, and the return of Jean-Pierre Bemba is muddied the water. You just mentioned that his chances of winning are not very so high, but what are his chances of basically disrupting the electoral process?
Jean-Pierre Bemba in his press conference said that, and even in the interview with the Deutsche Welle, said that he would be the best candidate for the opposition. He thinks that the opposition has to be unified, united, and that they should go with one and only candidate. And he thinks he's the best one for this. And I quite wonder if the other opposition candidates think the same, because there are so many candidates like Moïse Katumbi, Félix Tshisekedi, Martin Fayulu. All these Congolese politicians want to go to the elections as a candidate too. So I'm not sure if they will really go and join Jean-Pierre Bemba for him being the only candidate of the opposition.
Dirke Kopp, head of DW's French service.
And of course, you have been giving us your feedback on that. Charles Wafula says it's more strategic if Bemba in the intermediary gives Kabila assurances of a soft landing to ease him out of power comfortably. If not, he might miss out.
And Tony Watima says Bemba might win Congo presidency, and that will mean Kabila and family are definitely in trouble. Now to some international story. Pakistanis turned up in large numbers today to vote in the country's hotly contested general election. Despite a suicide bombing that killed 31 people earlier today, the Islamic State claimed responsibility for that bombing.
Now, Pakistan has been ruled on and off by the military during its 71-year history. This election is important as it marks only the second time that one civilian government has handed power to another after serving a full term. DW's Shamil Shams is in Islamabad covering the elections. He starts by telling us who the main contenders for the elections are.
See, the main candidate, I mean, the front runner is Imran Khan, who was a cricketer back in the 70s and 80s. He won the World Cup, Cricket World Cup for Pakistan back in 1992. And he started charity work afterwards. And then he formed his political party, the PTI, which is Movement for Justice. And his slogan is that we will weed out corruption from Pakistani society. And people are sick and tired of the mainstream politicians. So he says that we need a new kind of Pakistan, a new system, which he doesn't explain what actually he wants, what he means. It's a populist slogan. He's a populist conservative politician. Now, there is another main candidate which is not actually running because he was disqualified by the court, the former Prime Minister Sharif. He was earlier this month jailed on corruption charges which are linked to Panama Papers leaks. So he is not contesting. He's currently in prison. And his younger brother is leading the party, who has been with the elder Sharif for the past 30, 40 years. And they are very strong in the Punjab province where I'm based. I'm in the capital, Islamabad, which is in the Punjab province.
Is this an open or closed electoral process? Are journalists and polling observers even being allowed in the polling centers?
Yeah, in the morning when we went to a polling station, a voter center, we were allowed inside, but they said you cannot make any footage. You cannot cover the elections. Journalists from like different media organizations were just, you know, and they were not allowed to report from there.
What is the state of security in the country at the moment?
See, over 400,000 military personnel have been deployed across the country. I mean, they are securing the polling stations. But still, there was an attack in Quetta, which was claimed by a foreign militant group. And 31 people have been killed. So the security situation is bad. But there is a huge army deployment probably that worked in the favor of the security situation.
That is Shamil Shams from DW's English desk in Pakistan. Now back to Africa, the 10th BRICS Summit, featuring leaders of Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa, started today in Johannesburg amid heightened global trade war led by US President Donald Trump.
Although they will discuss other agendas like new technology and peacekeeping, the US president's protectionism and threat of a trade war are likely to take center stage. Wanji Kumara has more.
South Africa's trade minister officially opened the meeting with a warning that the world's trading system is enduring enormous turbulence. Rob Davies said there are many economic worries due to U.S. tariffs on goods from major trading partners and retaliatory action from those countries. Cobus van Staden, a senior researcher at the South African Institute of International Affairs, says Africa is now looking for trade options and the Chinese initiative of Belt and Road, which focuses on infrastructure investment and a unified large market, seems to offer exactly that.
You know, Africa, I think, is interested in BRICS because it opens up a kind of alternative for African development. It's a very interesting and very ambitious initiative. I think it has the potential to help a lot in different parts of the world.
Many South Africans believe the BRICS offer a great chance for the continent.
I think it's very good for South Africa. I do believe the BRICS summit allows all the developing nations to get together and foster relations. And having the Chinese president here will only enhance that.
Since we are part of the BRICS, I think it is a good thing that we can establish new opportunities, you know, for youth and education as a whole perspective.
Just last week, President Trump said he was ready to impose tariffs on billions of imported goods from rival economic superpower, China. But even South Africa, a tiny exporter of steel, aluminium, and automobiles to the United States, is facing barriers because the U.S. did not grant them an exemption from tariffs of 25% on steel and 10% on aluminium proclaimed by the U.S. president in March.
Wanjiku Maura with that report. Thank you to our listeners on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Keep commenting. We'll be right back.
You are listening to DW's Africa Link, and my name is Abubakar Jalo.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Thank you very much for your feedback on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Gideon Adelagon are also commenting there, and I can see you, Palesa Sekete, and many others. Continue keeping in touch and talking to us. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, 31 Chinese nationals are arrested in Sierra Leone for illegal mining and sexual exploitation of minors.
You have to pay taxes to the local authority. Also, the government has to benefit directly. But if a company or individual Chinese people come to Sierra Leone to undertake mining without going through the actual procedure, that has to do with a lot of economic challenge. Because currently, the government is faced with a lot of economic challenge.
And we will hear how Kenya hopes to tap on wind energy to bring power to millions of homes. But first, a strong wind of defection on Tuesday hit the Nigerian National Assembly, with 51 lawmakers defecting from the ruling party to opposition parties few months ahead of the general elections.
The figure includes 15 senators and 37 House members who left the ruling All Progressive Congress, APC, for the People's Democratic Party, PDP, and the African Democratic Congress, otherwise known as ADC. So what do people in the north of Nigeria think of the defection? Mohammed Alamin reports from Maiduguri.
Many Nigerian analysts describe the mass defection of politicians from the ruling All Progressive Congress APC party as a major blow to President Muhammadu Buhari. Sani Akubu is a political analyst from northeastern Nigeria.
APC will have now a very, very large vacuum towards what they will face in the 2019 election. Having about 15 senators leaving your political party overnight is a very big blow that may easily hinder achievements of the party, especially looking at the eve of 2019 election.
But many northern Nigerian residents toward the line of the president, describing the defection as a storm in a teacup. Aminu Suli, a resident of Maiduguri, says the defecting politicians are being selfish.
Politics requires a lot of calculations. In most cases, most politicians are doing things that are more beneficial to themselves than to other individuals or their people or the populace they are representing. So therefore, don't be surprised that this may not affect the leadership of APC in the forthcoming election.
Some APC members admitted that it is a loss, but the party will bring back the aggrieved members. Muhammad Bello is a serving state APC legislator from northeastern Nigeria.
It is natural for any party that is in power to have such conflict, because you cannot bring people having different and divergent views to expect that they will behave similar at the same time. So I don't see any serious challenge, but I must confess that it's a minus to APC to have lost such members. But I'm optimistic that sooner or later, if not all, most of them will be back to the fold of the APC.
Tuesday was a very bad day for the ruling APC, as 15 of its senators defected from the main opposition People's Democratic Party. The APC also lost weight in the House of Representatives, where 37 of its members changed their loyalty to the sides of the People's Democratic Party, PDP, and the African Democratic Congress, ADC. President Muhammadu Buhari, while reacting to the defection in the National Assembly, said it will not have negative impact on the party. But the defection has set a scenario of convulsion that pits the PDP, which now has the majority in the Senate against the ruling APC, which still controls the lower house.
Mohammed Alamin reporting from Maiduguri. Now, some responses. We have Patrick Adam Duke, who says elections in this country isn't about voting. Yes, people vote, but not with the PVC. They vote with Naira bills, so all this is just good riddance to bad rubbish.
John Omonigo says, I just want everyone to know that come 2019, Nigerians will retire Baba, 70 back to Daura to continue his cattle business. We need a much younger president.
And Ola Olonande Tunde says, this is the best a father can wish his family members. God bless the president.
So thank you for your many mixed reactions on that topic.
On the spot.
We now head to Sierra Leone, where 31 Chinese nationals have been arrested in connection with illegal mining of gold. They're also accused of slave-like sexual abuse of children and subjecting boys and young men to inhuman working conditions.
Now, very recently, another group of Chinese were also arrested for illegally mining gold in the diamond-rich eastern district of Kono. For more on the story, here's Claudia Anthony from Freetown.
The 31 Chinese men now detained at the Criminal Investigation Department in Freetown have left ordinary citizens in complete rage.
They should discipline them. They don't have any right to do so. This is not their country. This is Sierra Leone, especially when they don't have permission from the government. And in connection with the sex slaves, that is bad. Very, very, very bad. It's not good at all. They should try to find out if it is their deeds. They should discipline them.
The country has not been benefiting from mining, not to talk about the illicit mining that have been going on from the Chinese. So if the police is now taking an action like that, it is a step in the right direction. But we don't want to see after the police arresting those guys and just leaving them just like that without the law taking the cause.
You have to pay taxes to the local authority. Also, the government has to benefit directly. But if a company or individual Chinese people come to Sierra Leone to undertake mining without going through the actual procedure, that has to do with a lot of economic challenge. Because currently, the government is faced with a lot of economic challenge.
We are calling on all relevant authorities, the Human Rights Commission, and other agencies that do supervise and monitor the human rights activities of people. We want to see this institution do monitor. It's not all about the black and white, but to see that these policies are implemented to the letter.
The emotions expressed by these people are not only because these set of Chinese were caught mining gold illegally. Sierra Leoneans are also furious because the Chinese are accused of allegedly using children as sex slaves in a systematic manner, plus subjecting boys and young men to severe inhuman working conditions. Head of the media unit at the Sierra Leone Police, Superintendent Brima Kamara, told me they do not have enough at the moment to pursue charges of the alleged sex slavery with minors.
Let me start with the issue of child sex slave. I got calls from other institutions yesterday, and I was at the Criminal Investigations Department, and I inquired with the investigating officer. He did say, for now, they are not looking at issues of child sex slave. They haven't got facts of that one yet, but if it comes later on, they follow that lead.
This set of 31 Chinese caught in illegal gold mining in the Tongkolili district, north of the country, adds to another set of 15 Chinese and two Turks caught illegally mining in the diamond-rich district of Kano in the country's far east. So how serious is the issue of illegal mining in Sierra Leone? That's the question I put to the Minister of Mines and Mineral Resources, Dr. Mori Kombamanye.
Illegal mining is quite big because it's taking place all over the country. You recognize that it's costing so much money. Honorable member came to my office with a piece of gold that they had recovered from one of these Chinese illicit miners. We sent it to our National Minerals Agency. We found out that it was 94.5% gold. The market value at the time was put at 15.6 thousand US dollars. So that undermining the economy.
However, not every Chinese worker in Sierra Leone is involved in illegal mining. In 2015, the Chinese company Shandong Steel took over ownership of the iron ore Tongkolili mines that was initially run by African Minerals Limited. After the takeover, Sierra Leone was listed as the world's sixth largest iron ore exporter to China, accounting for around 30% of the country's gross domestic product. The trend pushed the country to the list of the world's top 10 iron ore producers.
Claudia Anthony in Freetown.
Living Planet Africa.
Now, the use of fossil fuel worldwide has always raised controversy due to its effect on the environment. In Kenya, the construction of a wind power farm in Lake Turkana is expected to see the big shift from fossils such as coal, oil and petroleum to the use of clean and renewable energy.
The wind power project, which will be the largest in Africa, has a capacity of 310 megawatts, enough to power up to 1 million homes. Kenya currently relies mainly on hydro and fossil fuel, some known to release carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. As our DW correspondent Andrew Wasike found out, all that is expected to change in September.
The wind power project is being constructed on a 40,000-acre farm in Lake Turkana, one of the regions with strong winds in the country. It is expected to help get rid of about 700,000 tons of carbon dioxide, which is produced each year mainly due to use of fossil fuels. Although Kenya is the largest producer of geothermal energy in Africa, winning the title of Renewable Energy Capital of the World, the decision to shift to wind energy has been termed as a smart one since it's inexpensive along with the use of fossil fuels. Chairperson of the Lake Turkana Wind Power Project, Mugo Kibati, says it will also be a good example to other African countries.
As far as Kenya is concerned, this puts Kenya on the map in terms of renewable energy, because you're going to have 310 megawatts of wind energy, the largest in the African continent. But beyond that, I think it will be proof of the fact that in a country such as Kenya, a complex project of this nature can successfully be brought to completion, and at that, in a remote part of Kenya.
The construction of the wind power farm will cost at least $680 million. Over 300 wind turbines will be connected to the national grid through an associated transmission line. Once operational, it is not only expected to meet the higher power needs, but to export energy to her neighbors. For some locals around the Lake Turkana region, the benefits have been many, especially in getting jobs, as Leshon Anthony tells me.
When we started, there was so many people, up to 900 people working, local people working in this project. This big wind power will obviously attract tourists. They are already thinking ahead of time.
However, not all locals are as positive. Some say the job opportunities are not enough and promises of reliable water resources have not been met either. The Turkana people, who are mostly nomadic pastoralists, argue that not much carbon emissions comes from their region. But Mette Knudsen, Danish ambassador to Kenya, whose home country delivered all the turbines, has assured them that they will eventually reap the fruits.
The people living in the region around the project have first of all benefited already from the road that has been constructed to the area. The project is also providing funds for projects for the community, like the school, like water points, like accommodation for the village that's right in the project area.
92% of Kenya's main power is expected to be clean energy, and the United Nations Environment Programme head Eric Solheim says it's time Africa moved away from the use of fossil fuels.
Population in Africa is prognosed to grow very, very fast. If Africa should be fueled by fossil fuels, it would be a catastrophe for Africa and for the world. So to utilize the wind, the sun, which is all over the place here in Africa, is the future.
That's the head of UNEP in Kenya. That report was compiled by Andrew Wasike.
Now, a different story here. Because of the refugee crisis in Europe, a lot of European countries are deporting asylum seekers. And now some European citizens are standing up to this deportation. One person is Elin Elsin in Sweden. She basically boarded a flight to protest the deportation of an Afghan called Ismail. But instead, she found another person in the plane. Let's listen to her clip.
What I'm all saying is that I'm not going to sit down until this person is off the plane. Because he will most likely get killed if he is on this plane when it goes up. And the pilot has the right to say that he is not allowed to be on the plane. And as long as he is not on the plane, then I will comply.
So that is Elin Esson, who stood up for this Afghan refugee. You can watch the video on our Facebook page, DW Africa. DW has discovered that Ismail was secreted out of the country on a commercial flight and is now in Afghanistan. So thank you very much.
That particular video from Esson has gone viral and it's making the rounds. And, you know, we applaud the courage of these people. Right?
Yeah, and of course we have many comments. We cannot read all of them, but thank you for keeping it Africa Link.
It's been a pleasure. My name is Abubakar Jalo.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Bye for now.